You are now listening to the greatest podcast on planet Earth, Sports Cypher Podcast, where we diagnose, debate, and dissect sports. Cypher up.
Jersey stand up and I'm in the building.
What's good, y'all? This is Ricardo, a.k.a. Maximum, a.k.a. Cardo, a.k.a. the guy with all the a.k.a.s. You are now tuned in to the Sports Cypher. Let's go.
They saved the best for last. This is Blaine, the ace of spades. And we're here to give the people what they want. More of me.
Welcome to another episode of the Sports Cypher Podcast. The fellas is here coming off a Super Bowl Sunday, coming off a super podcast, coming up a super broadcast on Dodge Radio and other podcast platforms for y'all listening and enjoyment. Here we are, Buddy, Jersey, Camel, Camelfly, Cardo, and Blaine.
The name's so nice, you have to say it twice.
There you go.
I only wanted to say it once.
Okay.
How y'all doing, fellas? We good?
I'm okay, yeah. How about yourself, super? My dude? Not as super as you, Mr. Cruise, man.
Yeah, man. This man's going on a cruise. Meanwhile,
it was snowing in New York today. I was like, man, I should have got out of town with y'all. But
for real.
I am super.
Yeah, good.
It was ugly outside today.
For real.
Yeah. But I mean, ain't like I'm, you know, getting paid $39 an hour doing double overtime, Cardo.
Man, look, there's a price to be paid for everything in life, and I'm paying it right now. I'm so sleepy. So,
oh, yeah, ain't like I'm getting $400,000 a year in my job, please.
He was like I made that 10 years ago. Come on, what are you talking about?
He's like, yo, get out of my pockets, bro.
I can pay $80 an hour as a social worker.
This guy right here, and he's lying about damn near all of it. But
I know it's fake, but it feels real.
It does. Didn't feel real. Oh, Lord. Real when I have to pay my rent.
pay my mortgage.
You said the views. What did you?
But am I shallow for like the one thing I do like about going to pay rent is when I go get my cashier's check. That's the only time I like to go to this one particular bank because I like her to see my bank account right before I pay.
Oh, that's so funny. You like see what I have before I pay.
And make sure you like the teller.
Oh my God, yes.
And make sure you go down wearing a green polo bottle. You can smell like stinking old money.
Oh, woo.
The original
that smell like Scrooge McDuck.
And he dived in a pot of gold.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
All right, y'all.
Don't look at my account any other time this month, please.
Right. Let's get this thing started, man.
One thing counts.
We got to start off with the bad, man. We have a rest in peace going on. And it's a marathon world record holder. Kelvin kicked him. I wanted to make sure I got his name right. He was 24 years old.
That's right.
Dies in a car crash. That really made me sad when I saw that.
Sad.
Yeah, it was a car accident. It was him, his trainer, and a young lady that was 24 in the back. Him and his trainer down on the scene. The young lady was 24. Is intensive care ICU. And when they got there, Kelvin's body was slung out the car several feet, and it was mangled and all messed up.
No seatbelt.
It went in the ditch.
Please wear your seatbelt, guys. Oh, my goodness.
Please wear it.
I know people who go into taxis and Ubers don't put on their seatbelt. I put on my seatbelt every time I get into a car.
Every time. I have
you only
got to
be in one car accident, man. Like, that thing is so scary. Like, you know, I wasn't in an accident as bad as Jersey, but please put your seatbelts on, ladies and gentlemen. Like, it's a minor, minor discomfort. It's only for a few seconds, and you get used to it, and you forget it's even on. Like,
hey, like Kanye West say, I ain't too cool for the safe belt.
The safe belt?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
I ain't too cool for the safe belt, man.
All right. He probably it's not about the person you're
driving with at times. Sometimes it's about wearing that for what other people
are
doing.
Other people are doing on the road. Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, sir.
You might be with, exactly. be with a class A, class certified driver. The other person may
absolutely.
Not.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah, right.
So rest in peace.
Rest in peace. And also get him and his family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, please speedy recovery to the young lady. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. So we about to get us some NFL awards, and after that, we're gonna go through the hot people who made the Hall of Fame. But first, the NFL awards. I'm gonna go through it one by one, y'all. Let me know y'all thoughts. Let me ask y'all: do y'all know the results for every one award that was given, or if not, we can.
I know most of them.
I know.
But, yeah.
I think I might. I think I do. I don't.
Okay,
know.
So let's start out with our first one: Coach of the Year.
That he was, guesses
unless y'all know for sure.
Oh, it was. I saw
you put it in the group too.
It was something non-obvious. It was.
You got a guess, Carlos?
Was it Campbell?
Campbell, okay,
right?
Blaze got a guess, Campbell.
No,
okay,
no, it wasn't. I don't think it was Campbell.
I think it was the Detroit coach.
That's Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell. I don't think it was him. Okay, I thought it was Campbell. Okay. Yeah.
Who you got, Jer? They got Campbell. Who you got?
Was it my wrestler? Was it Kevin Stefanski?
And Jersey got Kevin Stefanski. Okay, the final answer is Kevin Stefanski for the Browns. He's the coach.
Oh,
wow. I could have sworn it was Campbell.
Okay.
How y'all felt about that?
I think it should have been Campbell.
Me too. I think it should have been Campbell.
I think that he won. I think that Campbell.
Well, who's worse, Detroit or the Browns?
Yeah. Well, I think
Detroit just had a better roster too, though.
Yeah, I think he won because he lost Nick Chubb in week two. No Deshaun Watson, and still was able to one beat the Ravens in one of the games without both of them, and also make the run into the playoffs as with
but a Joe Flacco. He had Flacco. Flacco.
Yeah, fresh off the couch. Mr.
Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
came off the couch.
I forgot who it was. Cooley said, comeback player for six games? Somebody said that.
Hey, he was eating pizza at home on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like seven games. I think he came back, started week 10 off the couch. Well, now that y'all know who the comeback player of the year is, I'm going to switch to him. It's Joe Flacco, who had 1,616 yards, 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions in the 7 games he played in.
Well, that's fine.
If not Joe Flacco, then who?
Well, I was going to say, I think I just don't know.
I forgot who. It was two other players in the running. Who was the other two players? It was somebody who came back off an injury.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was somebody who came back off an injury, but I felt like
I was gonna say it's usually a person coming off of an injury that you see right. When
it was somebody that came off an injury, but I can't remember who it was.
Like I think Saquon Barkley was comeback player of the year 1 year ago.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, y'all cool with Joe Flacco?
Yeah, he wins by default.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wins by default. Y'all know who the defensive rookie of the year is?
Defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson.
All right, Blaze and Carter, you're out of guess?
No idea.
Nope.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
Who's Will Anderson?
He's the defensive end / outside linebacker Houston took at the number 3 pick after they took CJ Stroud.
From Houston.
And his number was 45 tackles. 16 tackles for losses and 7 sacks.
That is
the most sacks by a rookie in Houston franchise. And they had Mario Williams and stuff, number 1 overall before.
Houston did really good in the draft last year. He did really good.
Oh, yeah, they killed it. Yeah. quarterback. That's why they're turning around so quick.
Hold on. Before we get there, that's not Barry the lead. Rookie of the year. I'm gonna go ahead and say it because Blair about to say it, CJ Stroud.
Because everybody knows it. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He had 4,108 passing yards, 23 passing touchdowns, 5 intercepts, and 3 rushing touchdowns.
Never NFL, never judge a book by its cover.
And he missed what?
Because where he's from?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Blaze, where he's from and what else?
Because he's from L.A., he's from the hood.
Okay.
And his dad was in jail, right. And that's why the Panthers didn't take him. Now they must feel real stupid.
Yeah, I mean, the whole sins of the father thing, you know, I don't know what his father being incarcerated really has to do with his
game,
you know, demeanor, and his,
right. Yeah, exactly.
That's him as a human being, like, you know, that's because, right.
Don't judge a book by its cover, man.
Yeah, like, that doesn't mean much of a much, you know, just because your parents are one thing doesn't mean you're gonna be that for good or for bad.
He's got it. I think also the stigma of Ohio State quarterbacks loomed over his head. If you look at my man from the Ravens, if you look at Bless the Dead.
I know what you're talking
Dwayne,
about.
Dwayne Haskins.
Yes.
If you look someone Haskins. I still believe in, but who's up in the air, Justin Fields. I just feel like there's a stigma about Ohio State quarterbacks that they just don't translate that well to the NFL.
Right. They have super wide receivers, which kind of elevates their college. Yeah, exactly. I've heard people say that the last how many ever years now.
Man, speaking of Justin.
What's that guy's name that played for the Ravens?
Troy Smith?
Troy Smith. That's
yeah, he went for the Ravens, then went to the 49ers. Yeah.
And then Tyrell Pryor.
Mm-hmm. Tyrell. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where was that quarterback who played for Pittsburgh from?
Dwayne Haskins.
No. The guy before Pickett got there.
Oh, Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, where is he from?
Oklahoma State.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it was his state in there. Just in and the O.
And speaking about Fields, bro, I've been seeing a lot of things connecting Fields and the Steelers going up to get him.
Steelers. Yes, that's an interesting trade.
I see it for Pittsburgh, but the Bears, man, you would want to not trade one of the teams inside the top 5. Y'all gonna go all the way back to pick 23, man. That's a far away from Dupree and Pittman Jr. I mean, and Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's a long way, bro.
I don't see that they would have enough.
So Pittsburgh's picking 5?
No,
they can't be.
They made the playoffs. Yeah.
Right. So what were you saying? I don't get it.
They picked number 1. Well, the Browns, not the Browns, the Bears picked number 1.
Right.
Number 1 and number 5. No, don't they pick number 5 also?
No. They only got one pick.
They have two picks.
They picked number 5 as well?
Yeah, they picked twice in
right, because they have Carolina's pick and they have their own pick.
Oh, their number 1 is Carolina's pick.
Yes.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. And they picked 1 and 5 or 1 and 7.
If they trade Fields with the Steelers is a playoff team, so their pick they'll get from the Steelers amongst a ton of other first or second round picks.
But they still have a top 5 pick. So
yeah. I was looking at
they would still have they would presumably yeah, they
They can pick a quarterback and try to pick the receiver.
I wonder what the package would be for Fields. So obviously you're getting their number 1 draft pick this year. And maybe a second round pick next year or something like that. I think it'd probably take more than a first.
It'll take more than a first or a second. I'm assuming.
What you think?
What you think, Jersey and Blaze? More than a first and a second.
I've heard he's going that they're more like. Well, they're most likely to trade with Atlanta. That's what I'm hearing.
Yesterday and today was all steel. They were talking about steel.
And more teams may pop up. We're a long time April, so more teams still may pop up in the mix of this. But I did say Atlanta, but yesterday I've been seeing a lot of Steelers. Tomlin actually spoke on him in the interview. You know, I just been seeing a lot of rumor mill, Bleacher Report, other stuff. It's like, like Steelers really love him behind closed doors.
I really feel that for Justin Fields, a first and a second is fair. I think anything more will be
a bit of an overpay. But I think they should keep Justin Fields.
I don't think he'll get it even more.
And use the two picks to get a wide receiver.
You must have seen what I put in the group when it was like most executives would be surprised if they was to not pick Caleb Williams.
Trade the pick. Yeah.
So it's looking like Caleb Williams might be the guy. Like they may be the guy for that. They might.
And they still might get Harrison. That's kind of bonkers. Well, I doubt it, but there's a possibility.
Yeah, because the
Patriots are going to pick a quarterback. So yeah.
We don't first know. Like I saw a mock today that came out with the Bears, Caleb, the Washington, they was getting Mays, and the Patriots was getting LSU quarterback who won the Heisman.
There's no chance that Marvin Harrison falls past four.
I can't remember who number four was, but whoever number four was, they was picking four? Marvin Harrison. Let me see.
They picked over Harrison. Let me tell you right here on the pod, whoever made that mock that had him going, you're wrong.
they had who going right now
because somebody will trade up before that even happens and offer you their soul.
They were saying Marvin Harrison was going to go to Arizona.
That's who's number four. Arizona.
They had him getting that.
Yep. That's who they had getting that number four. Yep. But what you say? What was wrong, Jers? I missed what the initial thing you said.
No, I just said that he's not. He's not fault. Somebody will trade up. Like that kind of talent never falls past four.
The mock I saw had him going to four. Yep. It was Arizona. It was Arizona.
If you're gonna trade up to skip Arizona, you're gonna pay a lot to get one of those top two to get the second or third pick.
This is the best. He's comfortably the best. He's comfortably the best prospect to come out since Calvin Johnson. He's better prospect than Jamar Chase. Better prospect than Justin Jefferson. He is Marvin Harrison Jr. at 6'4", and people just don't even argue that.
Oh, I hear you. Okay. I just say this. Calvin Johnson never even played in a play. Anybody played in one playoff game? So I'm like, you know, wide receivers can be found. They might not all be Hall of Fame level talent, but you can win with less. To me, I'm like, you know, yes, in my opinion,
it's and for you, Ricardo, to fit into your model of sports thinking, it's not that he's so good. It's that he's. It's the certainty that he's going to hit.
Like, oh, that's fair. Yeah. You're paying for the certainty?
You're paying for women.
Women Yama, you was going to say? Type certainty?
Yeah. It's
LeBron James certainty?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Wimbenyama.
Yeah.
Okay, right here, I got the top 10. Now, I don't know who picked this. This is a little different. They have the Bears, number one, getting Caleb Williams. They have Washington, number two, getting Drake May. Number three, they have New England getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Four, they have the Cardinals getting Malik Neighbors. I said Dupree, but I was
thinking about love Malik Neighbors.
Yeah, yeah, but I then Dupree, I meant to say Neighbors. That's what I was thinking about.
So who the Patriots going to get for quarterback? They're going to
don't know.
I guess they can get that the dude from Washington later on in the draft.
Or they might take Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner.
This is somebody. I'm gonna tell you who it. I ain't click on. I'm just looking at the outside. Number five is the Chargers. They got an offensive tackle from Penn State. Can't pronounce his name, and that's the top five this person have. Let me see what this is.
That sounds about right to me.
It's a writer for NFL.com. Yes, it's a writer for NFL.com, and that's his top five.
I think that's exactly how it's gonna go.
Oh, you think they're gonna take Marvin Jr. over LSU quarterback? And I've been hearing a lot of stuff about him from Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel Jeremiah say he kind of like his tape the more and more he watch him. And
hey, Belichick ain't there no more, so you know.
Listen, whenever you hear the analyst say, bloodline. You know what I like, Cam? I like who they like early, not who they like late. Mm-hmm. I say that all the time. I go back. to the January, and that's who I'm picking in my dynasty.
Is that a football thing or a sports draft thing in general? I'm
selling him myself on him the more. Oh,
okay.
I think Jersey says a football. It's a football thing more than just a draft.
Or just saying draft, sports drafts in general, like regardless of the sport.
No, I don't know. Not even.
Or just an NFL thing specifically.
I haven't tested that because I don't play in like the dynasties for.
I think that's a good rule of thumb. Yeah. Go with people who people like from the beginning.
Before the combine hype, before the pro day hype, before you get all hypey on it, you know, because people move up and down throughout this process coming on.
Yeah.
And also known as Michael line Parsons, season as
they
well,
talked him all the way down to 12. It's like, oh man, this guy, we don't really we liked him early, but
Right. Right. It happens all the time. You know, you talked about it for years, or it happens all the
time. Jalen Carter. Yeah. He goes to the freaking Howie Rose.
Yeah, he's going to always be a knucklehead.
How about Cam
trouble.
Whitmore?
Man. Yeah. Man. Okay,
he
y'all.
He's number four on our board, but nah.
Who y'all got for defensive player of the year?
Who did win defense? I don't know. Miles Garrett, maybe?
Okay. Y'all agree with yours? Y'all got a guess of y'all.
Miles. I have no idea. Miles Garrett.
Yep. That's who it is. Miles Garrett with 42 tackles, 17 tackles for losses, and 14 sacks. Defensive player of the year. Now, this one was quite special to me, except that he only had one sack in the last five regular season games.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if he was getting, but I need more because I know his pro football.
I know he's
getting
more,
triple teamed and stuff.
Right,
I mean,
right.
If he's getting, yeah, triple I don't teamed, know the, that's not going to show up on the.
That's not going to show up on the stats. They'll show
on the stats,
contact,
and he's freeing up everybody else to do stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. So I would definitely that may be open to have but I would just I don't know, man.
I guess today when you got him this. You know, did you get them?
How you got them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's their mindset, you know.
All right. We all know who offensive player of the year is, right? No?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
I think I've seen somebody post that.
Which I don't think he should have been.
Blades. MVP. He's not the offensive player of the year. Offensive player of the year is Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, okay. Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I didn't say MVP. Yeah. So,
MVP. I thought you were... When they were saying, I thought they were talking about MVP. My bad.
No, I say offensive player of the year.
That's fair. I still think Lamar Jackson could have won that, though.
His stats was 1,459 yards rushing, 14 rushing touchdowns. He had 67 receptions, 564 receiving yards, and 7 receiving touchdowns for a total of 21 total touchdowns.
Yeah, that sounds like an offensive
2,000
player.
Yards.
Yeah.
2,000 yards total.
He was the best player on offense.
But you know what's so funny? Offensive player of the year is usually, it means the best player not playing quarterback on offense. That's usually what that award means.
No, because sometimes quarterbacks win it.
I think it's very rare where the MVP is also offensive player of the year. It seems like they try to...
Because sometimes they're like a quarterback that puts up gaudy stats.
I don't know. What was the last quarterback to win Offensive Player of the Year?
If I would have known y'all had this discussion, I would have definitely pulled it up. Let me see.
I don't care that much. You don't got to, you know, if you don't want to.
We can revisit it at some point.
Yeah.
But, I
who was the last quarterback to win Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL?
Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that. I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a good bet.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Winners. 2016, Matt Ryan, quarterback. 2017, Todd Gurley, running back. 2018, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback. 19, Michael Thomas, wide receiver.
That's when he had that.
Talk about the land of the fall off. That injury totally derailed his career.
Those lower leg injuries. Mm.
Like I was telling Julio Jones just the other day.
Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah, it knocked me to some big old article. So I just that's a little.
Okay, it's just a mixed bag. Well, it's whoever's the best offensive player. Yeah. So it's gonna be any.
Yep.
And now he goes to MVP Lamar Jackson that Blaze was talking about, and we're gonna come to you, Blaze. Let me tell you your stats first: 3,678 yards passing, 24 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 821 yards rushing, 5 rushing touchdowns, 2 fumbles lost.
I personally think McCaffrey should have got the MVP of the year. I think he did a better. He had a better year than Lamar. Don't mind me. I love Lamar, but Dak had better stats than him. Purdy had better stats.
Dak's stats was 4,600 yards passing, 36 passing touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and I believe he had 2 rushing touchdowns. And you say Purdy. Purdy's stats was, I think, like 4,200 yards passing, 29 passing touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and I believe he had 3 rushing touchdowns.
I think McCaffrey or Dak, but I think that Lamar Jackson was worthy.
I'm on the record. I said that in the sports group that Lamar Jackson should have been the MVP. So I just thought he did the most with the least.
I did. I thought so too until I saw the stats. Then when I saw the stats, I was like, "Wait a minute."
800 rushing yards is for a quarterback is pretty impressive. 7 interceptions to 24 touchdowns.
Yeah, but look at Dak.
Look at Dak. 36 touchdowns him. To 8 interceptions.
The total touchdowns.
Oh, no, you're right. But, you know, there's no CeeDee Lamb on the Ravens either. You know, I think if CeeDee Lamb played on the Ravens, he'd probably have a few more touchdowns as well. Not to say that Zay Flowers is garbage or anything like that. He has up-and-coming receivers, but and who knows? His passing numbers might even get better with the emergence of their younger receiving core. So, and and whatchamacallit missed a lot of time. The tight end. Mark Andrews, yeah. So
yeah, he only played in 10 games. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my thing is
the backup tight end was pretty good too.
Yeah, my thing is this, like I think kind of then they gave it to him is because he beat the 49ers in a big Monday night game.
Yeah, I think so too.
Sunday night. Yeah.
Also,
best team in the regular season.
Give it to him because of record. Yeah, they give it to him because of record. Same thing in the NBA. Do with the MVP, like they base it off of record. Because even like the Ravens had a top 5 defense, top 5 offense, number 2 running game in the league. Like Lamar Jackson was a part of that, but you know a lot of things go because of the team accolade going. Like me personally, I would rather choose McCaffrey or because it's not even comparable to me to Lamar Jackson 2019 MVP when he had 36 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 1,200
yards, 2019 he killed it. In 2019 he deserved that. That was hands down.
But not to say he don't do it. True, I mean there's other people who the only dude in town that probably do it. They just don't have a top 5 defense around them to help them out win games, or maybe a top 5 running game to help them win games. But I don't know, man. I'm really not sold on Lamar Jackson being an MVP this year, man. I can see 2 or 3 other people really legit having it who had probably legit better season than him.
I think Dak is the only, to me, real. At the end, if I'm going MVP, because Dak didn't have a run. We really, the Cowboys did not run the ball well. They did that on Dak's arm, you know. And actually, we had no running game.
We had no running.
I mean, wasn't Lamar Jackson Baltimore's running game for the most part?
Not necessarily.
They had Gus the Bus.
Who rushed for more yards than Lamar Jackson?
No, they rushed as a good. They rushed a lot as a team, like team yards. Lamar Jackson probably is the leading rusher on that team, so you were definitely correct on that point.
Yeah.
But let me see what Gus. Yeah. I can see what Gus' numbers is too. But go ahead, y'all finish talking.
He scored. I think, but they did it by committee. So like, But they were I mean, he opens up their run game, Lamar Jackson, for sure. Like, look, I mean, like I said,
He's the major component of their run game. Like, he's responsible for more of their rush yards than any other individual.
Yeah, but that was the main reason why they lost that game against the Chiefs, because they didn't run the ball. They ran it six times and eight times. Lamar ran it eight times, and the running backs ran it three each. Gus the Bus did three. Of course,
they don't count the playoffs in the MVP race.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that's why they didn't win, because they didn't run the ball. They should have ran the ball.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Gus had 8, 10, and 13 rushing touchdowns and zero receiving touchdowns.
Thirteen rushing touchdowns. I wonder how many the Cowboys rushed for their backfield.
I'm more than so he's outscored the Cowboys rushing as a team with his rushing touchdowns alone.
How many did you say Gus had?
810 yards.
And 13 rushing touchdowns.
And what about Hill?
Let me see what Hill had.
Because Gus got me that playoff. Well, thank you, Gus.
But the tequila, the amount of tequila. But
then you're gonna end up.
No, the one with me and Jersey and the dynasty thing. Yeah, I won $650.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, that's the 12th man. You know, you've been knocking on the door for a little bit.
Yeah, they you know, it's payback's a bitch because they screwed me in the first year.
Get your coat, kids. We're going to Sizzler. I won. Mm-hmm. It's the Sizzler thing.
Do they still have Sizzler?
I don't think so. I think that.
I used to love that restaurant. All you can eat shrimp. I used to love that restaurant.
Justice Hill, the wings. He had 387 and 3 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving touchdown with 289 receiving yards.
And then you would have to add in. That's what I'm saying. You have to add J.K. Dobbins too.
Keith Mitchell too. As well. Right. And what Dobbins did before he got hurt too.
And what Dobbins did.
Right.
In that game. Yeah, it's just.
But like I give Cardo, Jackson was the rusher of the team.
What did you say? Dobbins? Who's that? He dead to me.
Oh. Well, I mean, he's dead to you. His kneecap dead to him. So is everybody dead to somebody?
Is he coming back?
J.K. Dobbins.
Is he coming back?
I guess he's going to try. He's still younger than him. I think he's a free agent this year, too, right? Man, it's tough to be a free agent coming off of that. Man, and then it's Achilles, right? It was Achilles, right, Jones?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, but this is he had back to back injuries. Remember,
but the other one was his knee. But this Achilles, though, man, your Achilles be that for good night. I mean, everybody thought Cam, what's the running back that was with the Rams? They got traded to the Vikings. Akers. They thought he was able to probably do it, and then they were just showing him off for a team to like it. Then he went with Williams. All right, y'all. So we about to go to the Hall of Fame. That's who made the Hall of Fame this year. I'm gonna go one by one. Y'all, let me know who y'all love. Julius Peppers,
definitely
Senior Hall Peppers. Of
Fame. Yeah. Senior Hall of Peppers is awesome.
Senior Peppers,
man. I'm hot. That's a good last name, Peppers.
And he was a good basketball player too on North Carolina.
That was his favorite sport,
North Carolina as well. Yeah. Man, Peppers, bro, he was so free. I love this dude. 6'6", 280. A legit 4'5 at 280. He came out lifting 31 times at 225. Bro, he had it all. He had it all, bro. He was such a monster. That D-line that went to the Super Bowl with Buckner at D-tackle, Mike Rucker at the other end. Him at the other end and the other D-tackle. Panthers. I forgot his name, though.
Yeah.
Bro, that D-line was You know so funny? Sick.
I can't remember their quarterback's name in that Super Bowl.
Jake Delhomme.
Jake
Delhomme. Louisiana's
Jake Delhomme.
That's like the most Louisiana name.
It is.
Jake Delhomme. He's Cajun.
Wait, what year was that?
2003.
That was... The Janet Jackson Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yep.
2004.
That's when I literally was licking the TV screen where a nipple was at.
I had a TiVo, so we were rewinding it.
No, I didn't have that. I just was sucking the TV where, you know, the nipple was at.
Were you married yet?
No, No. We just kept on rewinding.
I was married to the TV. Things I did to that TV. Things I did to that TV.
Picture you telling Fader.
I slid out the house and got naked. Just me and the nipple right there. Just me and Janet.
Mm-mm. Just you and Janet.
Nobody in the world but you and I.
I have no idea what song that is.
John Legend.
Oh, baby okay. girl.
Okay.
You're getting the concert and everything. Give it to people.
How
what
about
they want.
This? Correct. As the greatest return man ever, Devin Hester.
Devin Hester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One I of only two people to have a speed of 100 on Madden.
I guess I'd be, you know, I didn't, that wasn't my first reaction, Ricardo, but mm-hmm. the moment you say it, that's really, I
yeah, it's
have a
not
problem
a knock
with him getting
him.
In eventually.
Yeah, I'd have felt that there were some people that needed to be in before Devin Hester, in my opinion.
For sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to name one too, but I'm going to wait till I go through the names.
We probably have the same person.
Okay, the next person I have is a dude I love because he was only 6 feet tall. He was 260 pounds. He had these little socks pulled up to his elbows, and he was known for the Tasmanian Devil spin moves. Jersey, who am I?
I have no idea.
Dwight Freeney.
Oh, okay. Freeney. The spin move, yeah.
Tasmanian Devil spin move.
I never thought of the Tasmanian Devil, but I guess.
Yeah, that's what they used to call, you know, yeah, because the cartoon, the Tasmanian Devil
he
got around
spins
by
around
fast.
When he moves, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why they
used to play against my cousin in high school.
Mm-hmm. Your cousin had a handful with him.
My cousin, yes, they, you know, he gave as good as he got. My cousin was pretty good.
Okay.
But
how
you
feel about
Dwight,
man? I don't have no problem with the white.
Oh, that's fair. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, two booking DNs like this? Oh, my
he's
God.
He's one of these guys that people, like, you don't really get the picture. He just, like, so, he was so good. When
was
he
drafted
playing.
By the Colts?
I don't know
I think
if he
so.
Was drafted.
I think he was.
Oh, okay,
Dwight Freeney and Matt Freeney and Mathis that DN combination. Freeney was so good.
He's yep, they 11 pick in the first round, 2002 by the Colts. 11 pick,
good value
out of Syracuse. Yeah,
he plays for Syracuse,
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys, Jerds. He's one of those guys.
Just one of those guys. Like that spin move is. There are few pass rush moves in the history of the NFL as good as that spin was.
Right.
That anybody ever had.
This next person is 6'5", 230 pounds, ran a 4.39, huge from the U. Who am I? Andre the Freak Johnson.
Oh, Johnson.
From the U.
Yeah. Yes.
He should have made it right now.
I don't know his numbers.
Yeah, he was good.
But, Cardo, I am leaning towards you, but I'm leaning more of Hesner way than Johnson right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Fame. Like, just off the top of my head, I remember him being such, like, player.
In fantasy, we used to get Johnson and Johnson.
Yep. I would definitely take Andre Johnson over Devin Hester in the Hall.
Bro, me and Bam.
And Andre Johnson never played with any top-notch quarterbacks either.
Now, he didn't even play with second-tier quarterbacks.
Shab was okay. Shab had led the NFL in
the past. Yeah, Shab was okay.
So, was okay. Am I mistaken or did Andre Johnson retire fairly young? I just feel like he didn't
play.
No.
No,
he got washed real fast.
He got washed real fast. I think he ended up with the Colts and he was washed. Yeah.
He hit that cliff. But he was a top three receiver.
Oh, yeah.
All right, y'all.
Three or four receiver in the league every year to me. With Schaub as the And I'm not a really Chubb was like.
All right, y'all. Here we go. He got 1,062 receptions, 70 total touchdowns, 14,085 receiving yards.
How many years did he play?
Let me see.
That'd be at least 9 years, right?
I said 10, but
that's not bad. He left
really Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah.
On that team, he's 42 years old. A perennial bottom five. They picked in the top five like every year.
Yeah, it's not showing me.
Hey, bro, I had him and Megatron. Ooh.
Bro, that's what me and Bam always from 09, maybe 2009, 2008. Me and Bam was trying to get the Johnson and Johnson connect. 2009, yeah. 8, 10. Our dream was to start off a draft Johnson and Johnson. We was never able to do it because one of them get took by the time it's time for us to draft the second.
I did it in Kevin's league. You know Kevin that we came on here? I did in his league. I won that.
Andre Johnson is better than AJ Brown was. He's better than AJ Brown was.
And he was as physical as AJ Brown, but way faster. Oh,
at his pinnacle, yes, he was better than AJ Brown. Yeah, like both of them at their peaks, yes, he was better than AJ.
Thus far, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like you know, AJ. I mean,
I don't think AJ Brown's actually getting better. You know, I think this is kind of his peak, but you know.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I mean
AJ Brown. How old is AJ Brown? 28? 29-ish?
No.
Alexa, how old is AJ Brown?
AJ Brown for the
26?
AJ Brown is 26.
Oh, 26. Yeah. Okay.
He's still got a trajectory.
He's still young.
He's got like 5 years.
And let's not forget, y'all. He had 1,515 touchdowns last year. This year,
yeah,
a little bit different. I think he still had like 1,300.
Mm-hmm.
1,300 and stuff. He just didn't have the many touchdowns he had last year.
I will let y'all know. I think that receiver is the position that's most shat upon by the Hall of Fame. I think far more receivers should be getting than really do. Dude, I think that we're having a conversation about whether a top 20 of all time. If you're top 20 at anything to me in the history of any, and there's like hundreds, thousands maybe receivers that come through.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's like a.
Who do you want in their prime and sane? Antonio Brown or Andre Johnson?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown. He'll moonwalk into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
If people forget about his. Yeah, but Terrell Owens should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
The Football Hall of Fame is. Deion Sanders, I love you. You're effing wrong. Like, you're just wrong.
What did Deion Sanders say to be wrong?
He said that 2 million people are getting in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, I did remember what he said. We talked about that. He said the Hall of Fame is not being exclusive like it should be.
And the Football Hall of Fame is the hardest Hall of Fame to get into. I don't know.
It's the hardest Hall of Fame to get into. And
it's harder than baseball.
Player.
Is it hard? It's harder than baseball? Well, thought baseball was the hardest.
No, only the people that took steroids, like PEDs.
No, that's true because, you know, in baseball, sometimes there's no inductees into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, only three made it this year, so you might be right.
You might be right, yeah. Mm.
So the next player.
It's hard for a different reason to me. And who what you were touching. Because baseball is hard because they won't let you in if they didn't like you. They go because the writers pick.
I don't know who picks the. I think they're the Hall of Fame. I don't know who's on the Hall of Fame committee.
Harder than football on talent. If you're talented and likable, and you put up the requisite numbers, and you do things the right way, and as soon as they make sure, and as long as they make sure, they literally make sure that nobody gets a unanimous vote. Like
the thing that makes it tough in the NFL is because they have a specific number. Like they won't go over a certain number. I don't know the number. Where in baseball, I mean, if 10 people make it, 10 people make it. You know what I'm saying? It's just
baseball is more stingy. They're like, oh, we don't think anyone should make it.
It's more of
here.
A popularity contest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our next player is a linebacker that ran a 4.340 out of Old Miss and has literally ran and chased down a receiver that was 20 yards ahead of him.
that saved a touchdown. Who am I?
Ricardo Walker.
Close, with no cigar.
That does sound like a
very close
a linebacker name, though.
His name was Pat Willis.
Oh my God!
Okay.
Oh, definitely Hall of Famer. Ole Miss, and he ran. He chased down Kevin Walters for the Cardinals. He was 20 yards ahead of him.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's so easy. I haven't thought about the name Pat Willis. This is why I truly think this is the reason it's hard to get into that football. It's very easy to forget football players. Like
there's so many of them.
There's just so many of them, and they're just it is mind boggling how good Pat Willis is. The best name that's been said to me, in my opinion. Like at his prime, like Pat Willis was better than Luke Kuechly. Better than Pat Willis was like Micah Parsons plus, like that good, you know, didn't rush the passer and stuff like at that level. But Pat Willis was so good. If he played longer, we're talking Ray Lewis or Pat Willis, in his prime, was one of the best linebackers in the history of the NFL.
Not
and
the best,
people don't even think about him. Right. And people don't really even think about him.
He was such a problem, bro. Man, the other two people, I think one is a contributor, Steve McMichael, and also Randy Gretter.
Steve McMichael? Mongo McMichael?
Yeah, I don't know. Steve McMichael, I don't really know much about him.
Oh, Steve McMichael played on the 85 Bears, and okay. And you'll love this game, and he was a professional wrestler for WCW. Mongo McMichael,
Okay, then the other person that must have been the guy that was a contributor then. Cause I know one contributor will kind of always get in.
Yeah. So who's the other guy?
Oh, I said his name. Randy Grittershaw. Grittershaw.
I don't know him. Mm. Oh, so.
And I know they have like an old timers committee too. Sometimes I will pick people from like the 50s and 60s.
Yes, make sure that.
Yeah.
All right, so now, let's get to this.
Let me just say one thing. My snub here, because y'all were going to give a snub, remember? I'm gonna say mine. I still am wondering when what is his name?
That's why he's a star.
When Darren Woodson is gonna
Darren Woodson, in. Oh, quarterback?
Safety. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, safety?
Safety, yeah.
Oh, that wasn't my guy, so we did have different guys.
Cardo might have.
No, I didn't think. Yeah, you and
Bill, I had Antonio. I have Antonio.
That Beach. Was my guy.
Yes. That was my guy.
Ooh, he didn't get in.
No,
that was my guy. As well.
So that's on my eye. To me, he's getting in over Devin Hester.
Devin Hester, bro. Yeah, Devin Hester. I'm getting him. Yeah, I'm putting him in over Hester as well. Yes,
and over Andre Johnson.
Yes,
and I'm Andre Johnson
as well. But if I had to choose one of the two, it would probably be Hester. I would choose over Johnson, and I would choose Gates over Hesner.
Yeah, because as it is now, I mean, Antonio Gates is probably the fourth best tight end of all time.
He's top 10. I don't know about fourth. I don't think I'd have him that high, but
I think he's four. There's Kelsey, there's Gonzalez, there's Gronk, and there's Antonio Gates. No one else is ahead of him right now.
I think Mike Ditka's in the conversation, but he did at that time as a just coming into the league. You can talk about him in the conversation. This is top five tight end. I would say there's an argument between him and Jason Witten. I personally think
I'm picking Antonio Gates over Jason.
So Antonio
Witten.
Gates Witten, in 2015 became the second tight end to have over 100 touchdowns. He's okay. Hold on, it went through real fast. It went through real fast. It was telling me some stuff. What's Antonio Gates' career stats? Let me see. Oh, it's not putting up like I wanted to.
Jason Witten, I think they were great in different ways.
Yeah.
Jason totally Witten for his longevity and his sure-handedness and just an overall leader. But
Andy was a better blocker too, which is a big part of the tight end.
Okay, here we go right here, y'all. His receptions, 955, 11,841, 116 touchdowns, 12.4 yards per catch.
And I don't even know if Antonio Gates played 10 years.
He did.
Yeah, I think he may have. I think he started in like 2004 or 3, and he played up to like 15 and 16. He wasn't on the field at the end
very much.
Yeah,
he was the focal. He had seven years
where it was him and Tony Gonzalez and Witten. Those were the three. And in my estimate, I just, you know, we often look at receiving when we talk about like the new wave tight end. Like him and Tony Gonzalez really brought in that era of ultra athletic tight. Because remember, he played basketball in college.
Yeah,
Antonio Gates. Yeah,
he didn't. He became football after.
Yep.
Was Jason Witten.
No, I mean, I have no problem with somebody ranking him above Jason Witten for sure. Yeah. Like, I
but there's no a conversation with to be had.
Him being the fourth best. I'm not sure. I would have to look a little deeper to say that for sure, but I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I have no
problem. Jason Witten have 1,228 catches, 74 touchdowns, 13,046. Wow. I got a Witten in front of Gates, not just a kind of like that, them catches and yards was bonkers.
And
I hear you,
but and he so played many of them way were, and Cam not, with the numbers, he has the most ever third. He was the most ever third down conversion. Those were like
Gates play football.
And by the way, remember we're talking about a significantly better blocker. Like
yes. Yes. Yeah, Antonio Gates was not even a good blocker. Did
Jason Witten play
no, he wasn't.
Mediocre
he wasn't
at best.
Thing.
Yeah. And you know what he tell you? Oh, they had another tight end for that.
They did, though.
That's what he tell you. You know, like, they had another tight end.
Okay, Witten played 17 years. Gates played 16 years. And Jason is his middle name. His first name was Chris. Didn't know that.
Really?
That. Christopher Jason Witten.
Mm-hmm.
Two-time Walter Payton Man of the Year.
I can't believe Antonio Gates played 16 years of that. Man, let me tell you, four of those years must have been lost. Like,
I remember he played with Drew Brees, too. Remember he played with Drew Brees before.
Early in his career with San Diego, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For San Diego.
Him and Keenan McCardell.
Keenan McCardell, yeah.
Right. So, they only played
with LaDainian Tomlinson.
I feel you, Cardo, man, but yeah, I got with number four now, my guy.
I
didn't know when they had them numbers, man.
Let me tell you, one game, I need a disruptor. I'm picking Antonio Gates, but I hear, like I said, there's an argument to be made.
Yeah, I hear the argument both ways, and I think that most people, Cam, believe it or not, I think most people are going with Cardo on this one, but.
I think as a Cowboys fan, obviously you guys saw aspects of Jason Witten's game that non-Cowboys.
Well, Jason Witten was a better run blocker than Gates. You know, Gates wasn't really much of a run blocker.
Yeah, we said that. Yeah.
You were looking things up when we were talking.
Right. Yeah. I said that Gates wasn't even a good blocker. He was like mediocre at best. Like poor even.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the numbers, like 955 to 1,000.
You know what's a better stat more than years? Games played, I think, is a better determined than years in the league because, you know, football is just one of those things where, you can play 15 years and play five games. You know what I'm saying?
To me, the argument you're making is actually a better argument because I understand what you're saying. Per game, he just has way better stats.
But Jason Witten, his longevity is a part of why he's a Hall of Famer.
He's a part of why. Exactly.
Like Derek Jeter. The best like Derek Jeter.
Availability.
Yeah, like Derek Jeter. He's like a Derek Jeter type. Like, Derek Jeter, if you break down his season-by-season stats, I mean, they're good, but none of them are what I would call great compared to other contemporaries. He played for 20 years. So it's like, and he played at 20 years for a very high level. Right. Yeah, I mean, just look at A-Rod and Jeter. Like, their numbers are, it's not even close, statistically.
Yeah, I would
numbers.
Never have known that because Jeter's brand is strong.
Yeah. I mean, Derek Jeter only hit 30 home runs once in his whole career.
See, I don't think most people, I don't think average Joe baseball fan, even if he's a baseball fan, would guess that.
Yeah.
236 game for Antonio Gates. Okay, yeah, we're going to move on after this.
Oh, man.
How many games did Jason Witten play in his career? Okay, we got 236 for Gates. Let me see.
Alexa, what's 236 divided by 16?
236 divided by 16 is
14.75.
Okay.
Well, he played in, and Witten played in 255, which he started in 245 of them.
Oh, that's so you know what? You guys are convincing me.
Yeah. I don't think that anybody, that's literally, nobody would guess any of it. I would not have
I just remember Gates being always hurt. I don't know. Maybe I'm just misremembering.
Yeah, because he had turf toe. He had turf toe.
Always had turf. Those feet, he had bad feet, right, Blaine?
Like a lot of basketball players.
Yeah, but let's move on, my guys. We're about to hit up this Super Sunday, this Super Bowl with the Super Bowl outcome. Shuffle. So, y'all, everybody that's listening, the Super Bowl happened, and I knocked over my cup when I was moving my hand because I'm gesturing moving and grooving. And
gesticulating. He's just gesticulating.
Yes, like John Madden, he did a lot of hand moving as a broadcaster.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Oh, yes. He was very animated.
Yes, very animated in the booth. So,
move this hand Chiefs, like an Italian.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. So, the Chiefs beat the 49ers in overtime. 25-22. And who want to give their thoughts about it first?
I slept through the whole thing. I actually woke up for the last play, funny enough.
No shit.
That's so disrespectful.
Look, I had to go to work, bro.
Work. Oh, yeah, he was working at triple.
Oh, yeah.
That was it was an amazing game.
It was an amazing game.
Yeah, I really liked the game. It was basically defense. It was a defensive ran game.
Yeah. Hey man, any Super Bowl that goes to overtime is automatically considered a good game. So, and it's the most viewed game of all time, the most viewed anything of all time.
Yeah,
on TV program.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Holy,
over 140 million people tuned in.
Yep.
No, 123 million.
123 million.
I thought it was 100. Okay.
So I
it was still the most.
Are you gonna give your recap first, Blades? Because I don't want to.
No, you go first. I just had to turn off my phone was going crazy.
Oh, I see. I was like, you just stopped.
I know because my phone was going.
Now I know.
You going Jersey or you want me to go?
Got it. Oh, I guess I can go.
Okay.
I think that this was I give this an 8 out of 10 for a Super Bowl. Far better than I thought. It was a sloppily played like first half of football. Lots of penalties and turnovers. But you know there was good drama because teams were driving down the field in the case of both teams and running backs were fumbling on both sides, McCaffrey, Pacheco, and there was a lot of much ado about nothing when it came to yardage as compared to points put on the board. So by the end of the but we started to see the 49ers really get their legs underneath them. They definitely were hit in the mouth when they lost Dre Greenlaw because we saw that there was an APB out for a certain starlet's boyfriend in the beginning of the game. However, and there was a noticeable lack of intensity on the sideline for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I believe they went up 10-0 going into the half. Mm-hmm. There were adjustments that were made, as we expect, from an Andy Reid-led team. I also believe that You know, Patrick Mahomes got it. Travis Kelce got in Patrick Mahomes' ear. And they came out firing on all cylinders. And it led to, I believe, it led to them scoring, like, what, 3 points, was it? Mm-hmm. And then they eventually got to a situation where the 49ers had to drive down. Even though Jake Moody had been clutch and kicked a 55 or 56, the longest field goal in Super Bowl history, he misses a crucial extra point, which may have been a major deciding point in why this game went to overtime.
Yeah, he got it. Was blocked. It was blocked.
Too. It was blocked.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a major reason that this game went to overtime. So he was, you know, very clutch for them, but he also dropped the ball. They got back into it. Patrick Mahomes really, to me, showed that he can be started to be talked about as amongst the greatest of all time because he made play after play outside of structure to keep the play alive and the downs alive and the drive going. And finally, they get into overtime. The 49ers get the ball and drive downfield, but they're not able to get the ball into the end zone. Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes things. And shout out to Isaiah Pacheco because he did run hard, even though he wasn't as effective as you would like. I feel like that kind of running that he provides sometimes can be an energy boost.
18 carries for 56 yards, 59 yards. 18 carries, 59 yards.
He had a couple receptions.
He had six receptions for 33 yards.
So, mm-hmm. You know, and I think it was his impact was even greater than that because I feel like it's an energizing thing. But we saw that Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce. Like I said, I feel like they really missed Dre Greenlaw out there.
They did.
And Travis Kelce really ate on them.
He ate specifically on the dude that replaced Greenlaw specifically.
You got to remember the first half was different because the first half he only got one catch for 1 yard in the front, and then he got nine catches for what 93 yards and 92 yards in the second half.
No, that was his total stat line, 9 for 93 in the rest of the
9 for 93.
After that, and I think five were in 70, the fourth quarter.
77
later, right?
Of the yards came in. Seventy-seven yards came in the fourth quarter.
Came in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, four quarters.
Didn't Travis Kelce do that against another team in the playoffs where he like?
Yes, yeah, he had no less than 70 yards in every playoff game this year. No less than 70 yards.
He said he had
no less than 70 yards.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In every playoff game this year.
One was an 11 yards. Catch effort that I forget against which team. And also,
Ravens.
I guess old girl ain't distracting him that much after all.
Yes, Jersey. Yes.
Shout out to Steve Spagnuolo, who becomes the first ever defensive coordinator to win Super Bowl, first ever coordinator of any type to win two different Super Bowls, two different teams. He's got 3 Super Bowls total.
Oh, great.
And his defense.
What was the other team?
I thought he was
with another team. I'm sorry. I didn't know he was.
He was. He won one with the Giants
last year. Yeah. The first one was the Giants. That was that
07 year.
Yeah, 07. Yeah.
We don't talk about those things. the architect of really, really good defense coming into this year, coming into that game, it averaged 13.5 points per game. So, you know,
I always like Steve
Spagnuolo. People did great things. I think there was a very, very good game. I think that they could have been, both teams were sloppy, but I think that they kind of put it together to have the kind of finish that the fans would hope for. If you aren't in San Francisco,
there's a lot of fans that think that Bucker should have got the MVP because he was amazing as a kicker. He got the 57 yards. He's got the most yard kick in Super Bowl history.
Those fans are crazy. I watched Patrick Mahomes running for the running for his life in the first place because Nick Bosa was tormenting those old linemen.
The thing about it is that Nick Bosa, I don't understand when it was fourth and one at the end. When it was fourth and one, why didn't he go? He went after Pacheco. He didn't go after Patrick Mahomes.
And maybe you don't think they were gonna
Come on, you don't think Patrick Mahomes gonna you're fourth and one, end of the game. You don't think Patrick Mahomes gonna run with that ball? He's gonna run with that ball.
I could see Nick,
he went after Pacheco instead of going after Patrick Mahomes. He just ran by him, I guess. That's crazy.
That's what happened when you think somebody gonna get the ball who's a pounder. Like, that's what happened, and Mahomes took advantage of that. You got any more things, Blaze, before I get into any more thoughts about
that? No, you go.
Okay. So Jerry said a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of stuff I wanted to hit on some notes, but a lot of my things had to come down to coaching, strategy, switching, and Mahomes and a lot of offensive players came out and said what Andy Reid did in the second half by adjusting to what the fuck. Because that first quarter, with Spagnuolo and Reid had to make adjustments at halftime, the 49ers was walking downfield. They just had a fumble with McCaffrey. They wasn't punching it in as often as they should have because they was really kind of driving on them. And then offensive-wise for the Chiefs, 49ers was ahead of them then. So as what I mean ahead of them, the defense was pretty much – tormenting Patrick Mahomes, had him running for his life. Like Jersey mentioned, Nick Bosa was a destroyer out there. Young had destroyed him on a sack. They literally destroyed Mahomes. Yeah. Like, oh Lord, Young got in there so fast. And he made some coaching adjustments. Now, I know some people, you know, was blaming Shanahan for going away from McCaffrey in the third quarter because he went three straight drives with three straight three and outs, and McCaffrey didn't touch the ball at all. He was pass. He had three straight three and outs passing the ball. But the stuff he did at halftime as of Andy Reid and Spags was great. Also, Shanahan went back and found himself because the reason the 49ers had a chance at that game was he started feeding McCaffrey. McCaffrey ended up with 22 carries for 80 yards. He also had 8 receptions for 80 yards and a touchdown, 160 total yards. He just had the fumble that was a blemish on his outlook. He did a great job getting trick plays to try to loosen up that defense because that defense was something serious. The Chiefs defensive players said their goal was to make Brock Purdy pass the ball because that was the strength of their defense. The strength of their defense was pass defense. Yes. So they literally go with to try to crowd the line. They even had a play where Trent Williams was at his best. He got through back in the Brock Purdy lap and caused an incomplete pass. People thought Brock missed it, but they didn't see that Williams was falling back into his leg as he was throwing the ball and missed Ayuk or either Samuel, one of the two on a pass. That would have been a conversion and one of them three and outs in the third on the third quarter.
Did not have his best game, Mr. Williams.
Yeah. I like what Daniel Jeremiah said. He said the Chiefs kind of remind me of the Patriots. He's like, check out this. I give this a thought. And I gave it a thought. He said, great head coach, Belichick, Brady, Vinatieri, Gronk. A great kicker, Gronk. So he was kind of looking at the Chiefs kicker, which y'all touched on, Mahomes with Jersey touched on, Reid, and then Kelce. Like, man, he was like, that's just something that was similar of the last like big dynasty of the Patriots that they had. And they always had really good defense. And speaking of good defense, when the 49ers had to settle for a field goal in overtime, Jones really made that play for the defense because he got there right before Jennings broke open where Brock was going. Brock had the right read. I know people think Brock is a game manager and he don't really make plays. No, Brock make plays, bro. But
no, he got real life. Many plays.
The Chiefs make people struggle.
You can't throw for that many touchdowns and be a game manager.
I'm in a debate with a good friend of ours, a couple of friends thinking he a manager. I know Chris think he does. Joseph Fleeks, me and him was debating.
Game manager?
Yes.
Trent Dilfer was a game manager.
Right.
Okay, right.
But Brock was literally, Jennings was going to be open, and I think the 49ers would have won, and Jennings would have caught. Jennings was hands down the MVP of the Super Bowl. But
I think he was if he catches it too.
Yes. But nevertheless, though, they still went up. So as much as people crap as they give Shanahan, when the offense left the field, they had the lead. But one thing happened, man. Greatness personified by Patrick Mahomes, bro. He literally, like the 49ers played 77% zone, right? They played man, but when they played man, he took off and ran. When they played zone, he found the open man. And then it was really attacking the linebacker that took the place of Greenlaw. So when Blaze brought that up, they was literally attacking that position, and that's when Travis Kelce got downfield with that 22-yard catch for the field goal to be kicked to start overtime. But Patrick Mahomes, the 49ers had chose to receive the ball instead of kicking because they say they literally didn't know the rules. They was the coaches never told them about the rules, so they didn't know what was best for their position. Which, on the other hand, the Chiefs team came out and said, we was prepared for any overtime situation, and we had specific plays scripted on offense and defense for overtime. So it came down to coaching, and it came down to execution. It was a hard, gritty game. It was a physical game. But Mahomes, cool as a cucumber out the refrigerator, dipped in cool ranch dressing.
Ew.
Cool ranch dressing as he got down the field. That's all I'm going to take of Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, legend status. Go ahead, Blitz.
What more can I say? What more can I say? That would drop the mic, man. All
right, man. I just had to get in that little bag right quick, man. Okay, so we done with the Super Bowl. Great. I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10.
I love that Super Bowl. I liked it at 9. I thought that was a 9.
I can see it at 9 as well. I can see it as that. 8.5, 9. I can see it as that was. I was invested in the game. Like, I'm gonna tell you one game I was invested. I wasn't really all into the fourth quarter, was that Patriots Rams game. And because it really didn't get really exciting. But to me it was
which one?
Oh yeah, the last one with Jared Goff, the last Patriots and Rams game.
Okay,
yeah, the last Super Bowl the Patriots won. Yeah,
my cousins are all Patriots fans, so I was watching it. It wasn't a great game, but when you're watching it with a bunch of people who are invested in it, it
makes it a little better.
I mean, they're literally chanting. They're they were doing that. It was crazy in there. But yeah, as far as the game went, it was very meh.
Okay, one quick thought right quick so we can move on.
Wanted to ask. More talented quarterback. Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers was very choosy.
I think they're similar talent wise.
Very similar.
Their skill set is very similar.
Very accurate. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are super similar. Rogers was talent clones.
Yeah,
right. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes though.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think that Patrick Mahomes is the most talented quarterback of all time.
And I also wanted to say this.
I think so too.
About this, the defensive players and the stuff they were doing on defense, and Snead, the GM, said they love having smart IQ players as one of the characteristics they look for outside of talent. And they say Andy Reid want people that love the game. Like when Kelce got in his face, he said after the game, he said he was passionate. He said he wanted to be on the field and he wanted the ball. He said, I know.
Is that what he said?
Yes, that's literally what he said after
the game. Yeah, that's what he said.
But I wanted to know what he said when he bumped him.
Yep.
He's like, I just was telling him I love Travis Kelce's so funny.
Yeah, he was telling that he wanted the ball and use them. And the second half, they actually used them and put him on the field. So he got, but Andy Reid said he loved passionate players like that. He said, you know, that he liked players that show their passion instead of the guys when something go wrong, shrug, walk off the field and make their money. He loved the dudes that got a passion, they want to fight for it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and as smart players on defense, I just wanted to really put a light on that, man. Because Spags, and you know what, with the Chiefs, bro? The Chiefs had nobody in coaching staff was interviewed for a job. They're bringing the same people back, and they're going to probably bring back Eric Bieniemy as an assistant coach on offense as well.
Gave him one of, didn't he give him like a fire me up speech during Super Bowl week, Eric Bieniemy?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. They brought him in, and Patrick Mahomes was talking about how happy it was, great to have whatever EB. I guess that's what they call.
EB.
In there, he's mm-hmm. like, yeah. They brought him in to fire up the team.
And they reported him going to bring him back as an assistant coach to offense to help out the OC.
And Patrick Mahomes like, I don't know why he's not going to get another. Why he's not getting looked at for.
But none of the coaches. Spags wasn't. Look at the great job Spags has done. Like, he tightened up that run defense in the playoff. That run defense was a liability. It was ranked 17th. They were 17th in the regular season against the run. Like, they really tightened that up.
So Spagnuolo doesn't surprise me. I mean, because he's been a head coach a couple times before.
That's what I was about to say.
I think they all want to go for a three-peat. They want to go for the three-peat, go down in history as the only team to win three in a row. So, you know, I think that's
what they're going to do. We got to see if they lose.
Really? No team in the NFL has won three Super Bowls in a row? I never knew that.
No.
Only two.
I think the closest is the Cowboys, right?
No, Pittsburgh as well.
Patriots could have won three. But
they won three out of four?
Yeah, uh-huh. They won 2001, 2002, and 2004.
Pittsburgh won three out of four at one time, I believe, in the 70s.
2001? They didn't win 2001.
That was the Rams. That was against the Rams in 2001, 2002. Yep. Was against the Buccaneers.
That was the first Super Bowl.
Against the Panthers. 2003 was the Raiders and the Bucks in the Super Bowl, and the Bucks won. 2000 was the Ravens beating the Giants. 99 was the Rams beating the Titans.
That might have been the best Super Bowl I've ever seen in my life.
I don't remember the Patriots Buccaneers Super Bowl. That doesn't even register to me.
No, Patriots Raiders.
You said Buccaneers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, it was Raiders Buccaneers. I'm sorry. Raiders Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you are right. It's just you mean the Patriots beat the Rams and the Patriots beat the Panthers.
The Patriots beat the Rams in 2002. In 2002,
And then it was Patriots, Panthers, Patriots, Eagles.
Yeah, Patriots, Panthers, Patriots, Eagles. You're right. I know the 2002 season was the Bucks and the Raiders.
Rich Gannon.
I always think of it as when the Super Bowl.
I go by the season. The season start. So the
Bucks Raiders. Yeah, John Gruden. John Gruden.
He's still eating off that Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. What's the next?
We about to get to Gosta be more careful. So Kobe Bryant is immortalized.
Computer, stop.
With a 19-foot bronze statue at the Lakers Arena, which is one of three statues that will be put out there for to immortalize Kobe Bryant. And it was the statue of him scoring the 81 points against 2006, when he had the number one point in the sky, like he was pointing the sky, holding up his one finger. So that was the other two ones. They don't know which ones it's going to be. They're trying to figure it out. Which are the two poles? But Kobe literally chose this as his pole before he died. If he was to ever get a statue, that was one of the first ones he would love to have.
Right.
What's up?
Yeah.
So second thing, how y'all feel about this? Terrell Lawrence said he is a viable option if a team that's making a playoff push need a receiver. He said he can't play 70 plays, but third down and red zone is so crucial, he could give you 30 plays there. I'm 50 years old.
No.
Ricardo? I think he should keep playing pickup basketball.
I think it's awesome. He still thinks so highly of his abilities.
I think it's highly unsurprising.
If you pick the worst, however you want to describe, the worst 25-year-old receiver in the NFL, right? Whoever that is, he is more athletic than a 50-year-old Terrell Owens, right? I really believe that in my heart. Like,
Yes.
You know, not to say that.
What about Tony? Would you take Tony or Terrell?
Tony who?
The one from used to be on your team. Then they
traded Kadarius Tony. Kadarius Tony?
Yeah.
I'd take Owens.
Yeah, I would too.
At least I know he tapped the ball. I'm not gonna lie. At least I know he tapped the ball.
I did not think that was gonna happen.
He might not get open, but if the dude falls down covering him, he's going to catch the ball.
And I was trying to tell
him. I think he can body. I think he can still body some corners too.
But maybe on the point. Second and goal from the 5-yard line. Yeah, you know he might be able to juke somebody out and get him. I don't know, but no. But in all seriousness, I probably would take Owens in a goal line situation. I'm not even lying. So.
No, I think that you should take Owens in a goal line.
Yeah, yeah.
But Tony is like, he wouldn't be on the field. So how long would it really matter?
The Giants saw something they didn't like.
I wonder if he gets a. Does he get a Super Bowl ring?
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
He was there. Jeez. Yeah.
Okay.
So the last thing we have. Oh, so the Knicks are protesting the foul.
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, with Brunson. And Bobby Malk says it's very rare for teams to win a protest
extremely.
Like this.
I think it hasn't happened for about put it like this. The last time it happened
was back with Shaquille O'Neal.
It was Shaq. And you know what's so funny? No, I don't even think it was with the Lakers.
Yeah, they just said it. I'm looking at it as I'm speaking. Yeah. Oh, he fouled out with 6 fouls instead of fouling out with 5 or something like that. I erased it. Damn.
5 instead of 6? Yeah.
Kind of different.
Six. Yeah.
Okay, because I thought the last one to be like turned over was a game with Miami, I think. But the thing is, by the time they played the next game, he wasn't there anymore. He was like with Cleveland or something. So the game that was protested, he wasn't even there when it got replayed or that, you know, when it got picked up he wasn't even on the team anymore.
Here's my issue though with this: if this is recalled, because it's not like, I didn't even know that this was a thing before, you know, but how do they handle this? Because it's not like the Knicks were going to win.
They start the game from that
they
spot.
They would have gone so they just goes to overtime. They just play a quarter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, they would just start, not even from overtime necessarily, just like...
Yeah,
it would have been overtime.
Yeah, it's December 19th, 2007, the last time...
I see what you're saying.
Protest was upheld...
Oh, it was 2019? Oh, I thought it was before
2007.
Oh,
December
19th, 2007. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so they would actually put it
right, in and he wasn't with the Lakers at that point. Something
no, on the no, mm-hmm. It was they said it's with Atlanta/Miami. You had to check with Miami.
Yes, and by the time they replayed the game, he wasn't on Miami anymore. He was on Cleveland.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to this.
You're saying that they would start the game from with a second left on the clock.
Yes, from when the foul occurred.
All right, y'all. We're about to hit the 2-hour mark right quick. So let me get the. He went crazy! Crazy! So we all know about LSU and Alabama dominance as far as sending college players to the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time ever Michigan have the most players going to the combine in college history or combine history. They have 18 players that's going to be set to go to the combine, most ever in combine history. That's so Michigan players went crazy. Yeah, who's going to shut us down?
I did it last week, so.
Blades!
Okay. Blades, shut us down.
Thank you for coming out and listening to us. We appreciate you. Be safe. Out there, can be safe on your cruise. Don't fall out overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we do? We give the people what they want, more of us. So you want to hear more of us? Come to Dodge Radio.
And please wear your seatbelt. Please.
Put your seatbelt on.
Wear your seatbelt, please.
Leave a review on Apple as well. All right. We out. Cypher boys.
Out.